This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. And what is usually termed Windbag Wednesday has turned into Gridiron Wednesday in lieu of It's Dallas Week, DOC in the air chair. And we really decided to really push this theme on what it's like to be a part of Dallas Week, and especially because we need a win desperately. We're no longer playing this thing like it's cutesy and we're a novelty. We're in the middle of a dogfight, and we haven't won a game in a minute. And it's really whether we were playing Dallas or we were playing James Madison. We need a win. And I think nobody can crystallize this as well as our next guest, a man who was all about winning and getting to the quarterback. And I don't think there's anybody that enjoyed Dallas Week more than Dexter Manley. And he joined us now. Dexter, you understood the bigger the game, the better you played. And that's the mark of a big-time player. What is on your mind for this edition of Dallas Week?
Well, just come out of here with a win. You already said it, that we've lost two games in a row, and it's necessary to play at home and come back and have a win. This is a division game, and I think they will have a winning. They'll win this game come Sunday. If the front seven can play, they've been playing for the first 4 weeks, they'll beat the Dallas Cowboys.
This defensive front reminds me a lot of you guys early on, just because they're wild. These dudes bring it, and they remind me a lot of an 81 team. Early on, they're just relentless. And if they can get really good interior pressure,
right,
I really believe this group could be special, but you're the pro. What do you sense? World saw some of it. I want to get it from you. I'm going to get it from Charles. I want to get it from you dudes because y'all made a living at it. What do you see?
Well, again, like I said, I think the front seven was playing great up until about definitely last week. Mm-hmm. That running back was getting past the front seven. And I just hope that they can come out and redeem themselves and play much better football on the front seven. I'm emphasizing the front seven because I think that's not hurt the Redskins about the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Commanders.
Yeah. No, we know what you mean. We know exactly what you mean. Why was Dallas opposed to your Texas roots? And I don't really think it was just Dallas. Hell, I saw you light up like a Christmas tree with the Niners. It was whatever, the bigger the game, the better you played. What was it about the gravity of the game that brought out the best of Mr. D?
Well, Rick, I'm glad you said that. It's just that big games, you have to perform. You have to perform anytime you're playing in a regular football game. But when you get in the playoffs, it steps it up. See, I'm a firm believer that three speeds of foot, three seasons of professional football. You got preseason, you got regular season, then you have the pro season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a chance to perform at a high level and help your team win football games. And hopefully that you can reap the benefit from management.
Well, who's not reaching the benefit nowadays? My goodness. I mean, the money's flowing. But, hey, the people hated our guts back in the day, the guys who played in the 60s. So every generation profits right. from income. So that's nothing new. What do you like about today's game, Mr. D? And in terms of when you watch the Detroit Lions and watching the Niners, Steelers, the pass rushers of today that are getting acclaim, is there anybody that makes Mr. D's list?
Well, I tell you, I have to be quite frank with you. I think there's two guys. The guy in Pittsburgh, T.J. Watt, mm-hmm. whatever his name, T.J.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the guy with the Kansas City Chiefs, number 95.
Jones, yeah. Guy? Oh, yeah, big fella, yeah.
Yeah, Jones. I think those are the only two guys that creating havoc and who seem to be getting the job done on a consistent basis. Now, I tell you, there's another guy, but he's kind of can't think of his name.
What team? Miles, 95?
Yes.
Boy, I wanted to know what you thought of him.
Oh,
because,
he's a monster. He's Reggie White.
Yeah. Big dude, too, man. Dude, long.
Yeah. But Rick, I tell you, he's a Texas boy. Them guys in Texas are the cream of the crop. I know you're a California guy, but in my humble opinion, I've said this before, the guys in Texas are the cream of the crop. They're the best in the country.
Well, we'll see.
They're the best in the country.
You can talk all you want to talk. We'll find out. You know what I mean? Yeah, because I don't remember y'all busting a grape in terms of college. Well, we'll see. Ain't nothing to talk about. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're going to always have that out. You and World talking about Rice and you, but it's cool. You know, the fun part about it is that they expanded this college football deal now to 12 games. It was ridiculous to have that thing reduced down before. It's open. I love it. The excitement, yeah. I mean, a lot going on. What do you think right now with this new team? It looks like everything's moving in the right direction. I like the theme. I like the coordinators, ownership. Everything seems like it's moving in the right direction. What's your gut tell you? You good with this kind of stuff?
My gut tell me I like NIL. I think the players should benefit.
Yeah.
I think the college football is at its highest peak, and they're playing it outstanding. I think the Big 12, SEC, those are top countries in college football. Mm-hmm. And that's just it's fantastic to watch. But more importantly, I like the NIL.
Yeah, I bet you would. I'm not even going to ask you what you thought you'd have been worth back in the day on the NIL. I'm glad we didn't have it because there are a lot of us may not have made it out of that because it would have been crazy. You were at the stadium. Do you still get chills when the crowd went nuts and you were introduced?
Oh, yeah.
Does it still excite you?
You know, you talked about earlier getting up for the big games. That's what I like. I like getting up for the big games because you become somebody. You're already working at becoming somebody.
Yeah.
But then I think when you go out there, you get up for the big games, you play for the fans and yourself, it's much better. I'm sort of speechless for that.
No, but you're doing good. How about your work with kids now in inner city and disabled kids and reading and just the whole focus about your program and your nonprofit? How's that coming?
Rick, I'm so blessed. I just thank God for what I've gone through. I came on the other side, and now I can give back to the Dexter and Lydia Manley Foundation. And we're making great strides. We have a lot of support. We can use more support. And I'd like for you to donate a couple more TVs that I can give to some of the kids who's making A's who came from low grades up to their level of grades. That's the kind of stuff we do. And can you donate a couple of more TVs for me?
Dexter, you know I always got your back.
Okay, then. Yeah. How many TVs you going to donate? How many TVs you going to?
You need 200 or 300?
No, I'll tell you, we'll take five. We'll take five.
You're the best. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to do what we can do. We're going to get you another tube. How'd that first one work out?
It went great. The family love it. My wife can tell you even more about it.
Oh, that's
she's the president. She's the founder of the Dexter Manley Foundation, and I'm going to let her tell you more about it.
Lydia, how are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm good. How are you?
Good. We just want to know, is there a base website, email, something we can give out so the audience can hear if they want to help the Dexter Manley Foundation?
Thank you so much for asking, Rick, of course. Mm-hmm. The audience can go to Dexter and Lydia Manley Foundation.org, and immediately they will be able to read what our mission, vision statement is, and there's a place there to donate. And it would be much appreciated. I heard Dexter telling you the great strides we're making.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to people like yourself. Every time you ever call Dexter to ask to do anything, you always make sure that you put a plug in for the Dexter Lady Manley Foundation, and we really appreciate it, Rick.
Well, that's good. No, man, because I know when he walks in a room, I've seen the effect that he has on young people. Y'all are doing a good thing, and we're just glad to be a part of it. And our audience, we're crazy, we're wild, we got some lunatics, but we have an open heart. Everybody understands about giving it. And Dr. Sabah donated, you know, widescreen, the whole nine yards to get this thing going. So we appreciate it. Look, we won't invade your privacy any longer. Have a great Dallas week. Thank you so much, and can't wait to see y'all again.
Thank you, Rick, and hello to Carol.
All right, take care. Thank you. Lydia and Dexter Manley, the prize bull. And a man who really helped define what Dallas Week is truly all about. All right, we'll open up the window now. You can jump aboard. This program is always, you know, it's live on the Odyssey app, and we're kicking tail right now streaming, and we love to do that. 301-230-0980 is the number. DOC and ICE, crazy combination. The Rooster's got a TED Talk. Noel is at a weight loss clinic right now getting an evaluation. We'll be right back. Oh, that's a little bit better. Like it. I was about to call management and sound like Lombardi going, what in the hell is going on around here? What was that? DOC in for the Rooster and the Whale. As they are, one's at a TED Talk, the other one's getting geared to get set for the Hoffman Show. Our lines have been, you guys have been real patient, and it's not that I've been dragging the ball, but we've been bringing you some talent. Dallas Week, and we thought it'd be unique to let you hear from some of the gladiators. Mike Nelms kicked it off, World Grant, Dexter Manley, the prize bull. And we're just going to keep playing the hits and keep going as we would have it. In the meantime, let's get out to Slope in the ATL. Slope, thanks for being patient.
No problem, Doc. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man. Dallas Week, getting to talk to some of my old dogs, man. Hard to beat this one.
No doubt. And, you know, and I was thinking about that. I had two questions for you. Do you remember we had Landry so discombobulated when he was going, no, Danny, no?
Oh, yeah. Man, that was
in that one game.
That was the fun bun. We had no fun for some. Yeah, that was it. Dennis Thurman, the boys, tried to break up the bunch.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And and I never seen Landry so, you know, so flustered in my life.
Yep.
The other thing I was going to ask you was talking to Dexter that took me back. You see any similarities between this squad and the 81 squad with all the rookies that are making contributions?
Yeah, I do.
Every time I watch, how
desperate they play. How fast, how deadly. Like, when you start getting guys that are just playing above themselves and playing hard, it may not be the right way. You don't even know if people are going the right way, but they do know this. They're going 100 miles an hour. That D. Luvu, man, them boys. I mean, the D-line just getting after people. And Wagner, man, you need that. George Stark taught me the blend between age and experience and youth and enthusiasm. Uh-huh. You need it all. Uh-huh. You need a young coach, and you need the gray beard. It's not there just experience. No, you need it all. Because look at the Jets. And here's the deal. As bad as you think the Jets are, we were the Jets. As bad as you think Cleveland is, we were Cleveland.
Yes.
As bad as you think anybody is right now, we were them. That was us. And it's so cool to be out of that. But we're not totally out of it until we beat Dallas. Because we're slipping. We're slipping. And I don't want to ever go back to that. To me, that'll be all the incentive you need. We're slipping. We needed a Hail Mary to beat the pathetic Bears. And now you got two losses. I don't care how good they are. We're good, too. So, it was Baltimore. So what? It was Pittsburgh. So what? We've already shown we can play up. But we can't play up and play sloppy. We ain't going to do it. We're not that good. You can't play up and drop balls and have the ball hitting you in the face and doing dumb stuff. Now you got arrogant. Then you get hurt. Then you get knocked down. Now mess around and lose to Dallas, and you won't ever believe what happened. It happens just that fast. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to go back to the clown show that was this organization. Slope, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Stay strong. Capitol Heights. Derek, welcome to Gridiron Wednesday.
Good afternoon, Doc. What's up, D? Burgundy and Gold, till I'm old and cold. Before I get to my question, I got a fun question for you. Is Cowboy Clay okay?
You know, Clarence called while I was on the show. He knows I can't pick up while I'm on the air. But I think he's just calling me to make fun of me and to tell me that the Cowboys are probably, in his mind, are going to dominate us. I'm sure that's what he's about to say, but he did call, but he calls during the show, which is disrespectful.
Doc, my question is, as you know, going back there, many Cowboys / Redskins classic games, you know, growing up, when I went into that game, I knew certain players would make a play that could possibly determine the outcome of the game. Dexter, Riggo, Monk, Sanders, Clark, we can go on down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a player or two on this current roster that you feel as though you know will make a play that could possibly determine the outcome?
Well, yeah, the problem is he's dependent. It's Terry McLaurin. But Terry can't do it without the ball. Terry is dependent upon the ball. He's dependent upon protection. I don't know if you got to see Terry put on a clinic hitting defensive ends as a wide receiver. This dude's worth his weight in gold. But he needs the ball. So it's all on JD. So as JD goes, everybody goes. He can't throw it to himself. But I trust them all. I mean, our boys went through it. And if Tyler Badass is feeling better, we're all about the Fab Five. What did I tell you in preseason? I told you in week one. Y'all, I don't care who's at wide receiver. What I care about is the Fab Five. And they took a little beat and been a little hurt. But let them five interior people, for those of you that aren't hip or the hip impaired, it's the five offensive linemen up front. As they go, we go. And so we get our protection. We open up some holes. We get back to rumbling. The only thing I can't tell you is that when B-Rob is out, why Rodriguez doesn't get more run. I don't have an answer for that. I do not know. I haven't heard anybody ask me. If they did, I didn't hear it. So can't figure that out. Love everybody else. That running back room, y'all do your job. You guys pass protect. You do everything. You catch out the backfield. But I have not been able to figure out we need more thud. And something we just can't make up that thud, that physical presence. I don't want to be trying to do Disneyland on people. I want to be just straight out horrible Matt just thunder.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes, and again, the OCs are creative. They're talented. I don't want to be talented like that. I don't want this to come down to creativity. I want this to come down to straight, flat out, I'm going to knock you off the ball. When Michigan went to Penn State with Harbaugh, they did not throw a pass the second half. I know a lot of y'all hated that. I know a lot of y'all hated that.
Right.
Killed your fantasy. You didn't. And I respect all of that. I think it's wonderful that we have these new things that added to it. But nothing ever will be top winning the game to me. Ever. And so that's why Harbaugh the other night with the Chargers, they had that nitwit that was running the Chargers with analytics. How'd that work out? His behind is now back where he deserves, coordinator. With, I don't know how to help with the Niners. I'm not against math and analytics. It's beautiful. Put it to the economy. Let's figure it out. It has no space in combat sports. But y'all can't, look, you know, y'all, look, you can make a profit off of it. You can sell your paper, sell your subscriptions. I'm not against it at all. Not in combat sports. It's a con. It's a con. Y'all keep just subscribing. Keep getting conned. Line of scrimmage. It'll never change. They try to deplete the running back. Oh, it's not working. Guess what? New York did that. The Giants. They got rid of their best player, the nitwits. Okay? They played a quarterback, $50 million. How'd that work out? The best player now is within the division, and he's killing people. He got us. We held him down for three quarters. Couldn't finish the job. Barkley. Mm-hmm. See, the league tried to suppress these brothers. Not all brothers. Running backs. People. For entertainment. Because the league is into entertainment. They're selling fluff. They're selling fluff. Get you on your phone. Keep buying stuff. They don't give a damn about winning either. Look at the Jets. I wish I don't have enough time. I'd have to do a telethon to talk about how many ignorant people are in charge in pro football. How much do y'all need to see?
Also, you need to have Chris back here to have a proper Jets conversation.
All right. He didn't want to go to yesterday. He started this crap, New York this, New York that. He didn't want to go there yesterday, did he?
Nope. Industry plant was trying to avoid it.
Yeah, it's garbage, okay? Aaron. My mother loves Aaron. She loves him. He's just her favorite player. Aaron Rodgers. Okay. See, y'all don't understand that you can make a fortune and not win. That's why people don't care. But I don't make a fortune, win, lose, or draw. I need to win. So my thing is I'm going to promote winning until I'm completely off the air. I will not give up. Promote. And those of y'all that like to win as well, you'll always have an outlet. It'll always be me. I'll never sell out. Just for fluff. It's about winning. Appreciate the phone call. We got time for Bonesy. Bonesy.
Hey, Doc. My main man. Shout out to Matty Ice. Hey, Doc, man. You know, I've been listening to the calls, and I've been listening to you all, right, you know, and all the other people, you know, talking about, you know, my man, Jaden Daniels. Like, Jaden Daniels is going to be okay. You know, your team's got film on him right now. You know what I mean? You know, you had defensive coordinators, right? You know, they done looked around at them first seven games, right? You know, and they said, well, you know, we got to get some film together because Fangio and my man up there in Philly, you know, they ain't want Jaden Daniels to, you know, outshine their defense. So, you know, they put the contain mechanism in there on him, you know. But so Jaden Daniels got to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Kingsbury, they got to figure it out. We're going to be okay, man. You know, I just need my defense to stand strong, and I need my offensive line, you understand, to get healthy, you understand, so that we can go in here this weekend, Sunday, you understand, and bring this win on home against these Cowboys that are fading out. I guess they're fading out. Jerry might be trying to bring in Deion Sanders for the coach, or even might be trying to bring in Shooter Sanders. I don't know, but Jerry is stunting on something right now. So, but anyway, Doc, Man, tell the people keep your head up, man. You know, we're going to be all right, man. Burgundy and gold for life, man. Hail to the W. Peace.
My man, hail to the W. I'm with you on that. Coming up on it, and Ethan, he always, we don't want to give him the short stick because the brother always brings it strong out in Annapolis. Ethan, what's up, my man?
You know, Doc, I got to say, Dallas has a 32-33 game edge on us for the career or the lifetime history of the rivalry, and most of that gap is from the last 25 years of the nonsense that went on in here. So we ain't had a rivalry here in forever. When I think about the Cowboys, Doc, I don't even speak English. I speak hate. I can't stand them. It's like Dexter used to say, one to put Danny Light White's lights out. That's the mentality that you got to have going in there on Sunday, wanting to beat them down the way they've embarrassed us. The, you know, hasn't even been a rivalry. We haven't been relevant around here in so long. You can't play down to a wounded bull like them. And you know, you even look at a few weeks ago, like with Jalen Hurts was on with Scott Van Pelt after the game, after they beat us. And you see Jalen Hurts mocking Scott Van Pelt. Oh, I know you a DMV guy. You okay? I mean, I'm tired of that. I want this team to take that fuel of being mocked and like a joke and just, man, and hate these bastards and go after them and tear them apart. That's the only way we're going to become relevant again. I want to go on a stretch and beat Dallas 13 out of 14 times the way they did us when Snyder first bought the team the first 7 years. I want to destroy them to the point where they crap themselves, that type of thing. Hail to the Redskins.
How violent he is. I love that. Hail to the W. Let me tell you what, man. That's what I like. I like that. Okay. All right, let's go to Russell. We'll get you when we come back. Hang with that, brother. We got to get to a few things that are trending. You know, yesterday I was pretty hard on Russell because he took the Ovechkin thing to the ilk. How about an hour? But you know what? It's really never enough too much time on Ovi because the grade eight now on IR, so he'll be minimum a week or so, three games at that. The good news is how well the Caps are playing, and of course that knee-to-knee. I don't know if you saw it, Brother Ice, but it did not look intentional to me. He still had to go to blows. Jack had to deal with our freak going blow to blows. I love how hockey has payback. It's coming at you. Ovi's pace was insane going after Wayne Gretzky's NHL record, 27 away. Got it going on. Celtics and Cavs on the NBA side. Man, that was awesome. 1-point win for Boston. Snapped that undefeated streak. And again, of course, the colorful courts. I know you love that color. Don't tell me you don't like it.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, I think you love it.
I
think you love it.
It gives me nausea every time I watch it.
Here's what I love. I love the bad boys in the NBA. Embiid, now we have Aaron Rodgers in the NFL, the bad boy. But Embiid, you know, not playing, they're losing, being behind, and Draymond Green still kicking people, still doing things, and they do nothing about it. Maybe the best thing to happen all was the contract ESPN and TNT keeping my favorite pregame, postgame show intact. That was good. And how about the former Bruin, Westbrook, 200th triple-double, nailing it right now, still getting the job done in the NBA, and that's what's trending. Essek, you and I always connect, man. That ain't gonna work with me. I'm not Linnell. I'm not experimenting. I'm not trying to find what works for me. I already know what works for me. There we go. That's a little bit better. I'm beyond the experimental part in my life.
I was confused when you were like, no Wu-Tang.
Well, Wu-Tang,
I
can do Wu-Tang a little bit. But, you know, it's these youngins, man, they're looking for something. I already found mine. So I know exactly where I'm going. The next gentleman we're bringing on here, I figured he was either one or two places. With Charles Mann, he could be doing a TED Talk. That's for real. He could be doing a TED Talk. Or he could be on a table being operated on. One of those two things could really be happening. And I'm not joking. Because this dude is tough as nails. And I know he lives for the big game. The bigger the game, the better Charles Mann. and he was a part of this Cowboy thing with two premier franchises. See, everybody hates Dallas. So they're in multiple big conflicts with Philly, the Niners. Charles experienced this on several platforms. So I wonder, Mr. Mann, first of all, thank you and tell the members of the board that we won't keep you long. But what does this week do for you, man?
Man, I'm actually coming to the game too. So
really?
I don't get out much these days to these games, but I'm coming to this game. I'm actually sitting with a group, a small group, so I can focus on the actual game. Because every time I come to these alumni weekends and all this stuff, I'm sitting there talking. Everybody can't see the game.
I know.
So I want to watch the game, man. I want to get into the game. I want to feel something like we used to feel. I mean, Doc, you remember the Georgetown will be shut down. People are on top of the light poles.
Yep.
You know, people are asking, we want Dallas or Dallas sucks week before we play them.
Banners. Tell them. Tell Essex, Charles. See, they think I'm just been hit the head too many times. It was collegiate. it was like playing your rival in college.
Yes. I mean, people, we shut down the city. The city would really be focused on only Dallas week. And I'm hoping, because of what I've been watching this season, I'm hoping that we get a little taste of that back. And what better way to see than actually go to the game? But I know you wanted me to give one of my Dallas memories. And you know what? Believe it or not, my Dallas memory is the real coach of Dallas with the brim and everything, Tom Landry, and him stoically sitting there while we're trying to get them to jump off sides. Remember that?
Yep. No, yeah, Danny, no.
Newhouse. Yep. No, Danny, no. There you go. That's my memory, and I wasn't even starting at the time. I was actually on the field. I don't know if Dexter needed a break or was gassed or they were wearing him out or whatever was happening. And I was out there. But I remember that, and they were, please don't hike the ball. And he hiked the ball to Robert Newhouse, and we stuffed him. And that's what I remember. I remember RFK stands bouncing up and down. I remember certain people in the stands, the Hoggets, it was life-changing. That time was life-changing to us as players, and we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't understand how deep and how strong that rivalry was until it went away, until it's no more. So we're hoping to get it back.
Yeah, and Essex, I really want you to understand what he's saying, that Georgetown, imagine the people who play in New York or Chicago or L.A., I mean really big cities, may get it. Imagine being downtown. There were literally banners. I don't think you believe what I'm saying. Banners in Washington, D.C., and in Reston, and in Herndon, around the cities that I to this day, when I say it, people go, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, in a pro city. About this team.
Yeah, it was crazy. Hey, what about the time where the fans were at Redskin Park waiting for us to come back? I'm not sure.
Oh, 4 a.m.?
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 4 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Lights on, pajamas.
That was crazy.
Us all lined up, lights on, and if we lost, same thing.
Yeah,
that's the most impressive thing. Even if we stubbed your toe, we lost in Chicago in that 48-49 deal on Monday night.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that was hard. Yeah. But still,
a shootout.
So that's what you know. I know as an older head, you just try to translate to these guys. Although DQ has done a great job, they play like they've already heard us say this. They seem to have a genuine enthusiasm about them. As if somebody's already let them in on this, which I think is good.
Doc, I still say the same thing I said back when I was 22 years old, that when you sign on to the Redskins, or now the Commanders, you sign on to hate Dallas Cowboys. You do. And that's what I used to say, and I still say that today. I can't help myself. Joe Gibbs was really good at embedding a thought in your head, and then you would come out and say it to the reporters all week long. He would just brainwash us about why it was so important to win and what was the rules or what were the keys to victory and how we had to humble ourselves and we're not that good and blah, blah, blah. And then we'd go out there and tell the fans or tell the media, we're not that good. You know, those are some tough suckers. You know, I'm still saying that stuff. I mean, he had us brainwashed, and we said exactly what he told us every single day at that 10 o'clock in the morning meeting, all hands on deck, and he just imparted into us a mindset that we went out and said the same thing to the media and all week long, and eventually you start believing it. But, Doc, the last thing I'd love to just make sure I impart to you is even today, I remember the keys to win.
The five keys.
That's how much. Yeah. I remember the three teams, special teams, offense and defense, keys to win.
Right.
So on defense, hold opponents to 17 points or less. On defense, keep the running back under 100 yards.
Yeah.
On defense, win the time of possession. On defense, you know, all these. And then on the flip side, on the offense, rush for over 100 yards. That was the key.
3.2,
We had to get three sacks in every game.
Yeah.
So on the offensive side, it was no sacks.
No sacks.
So in 1991-1992 season, Mark Rippon was only sacked 9 times the whole season.
Yeah.
The whole season. That's 16 games plus the 4 playoff games. How do you do that? 20 games, 9 sacks?
Did you see those big people that were in front of him?
But including the tight ends.
Yeah.
Were big people.
Yeah, and the backs were big people. I mean,
and the backs were big people.
It's crazy. And Bosco's coming on today, you know, as well.
Okay.
And Wirl, everybody had a part and a piece. Nelmsy.
Oh my God.
And
every time you say a name, I remember something about.
Oh yeah, how could you not?
But,
I was listening to B. Mitch today, and I was just laughing because he always translates the level of intensity it took in practice. And you know how our practices were.
Yes.
And most people today, they have no idea.
I lost 3 years of playing
in practice. No question.
Yeah, if I could have practiced like the 49ers practice or one of
you'd have played three more.
Now,
you'd have had a lot more staff.
Because
Charles, you'd have to say, hey, Charles, we have a game Sunday that we would like to be ready to play in it. Could you do us a favor?
Doc, I'm sorry, Doc. I am actually sorry.
And I said, allow us.
You were so much more cerebral than I was in the beginning.
Well, no.
I was older.
I was older. And I'm telling you, I said, dude, Charles, we knew when you messing with, but again, to be ready for game, Charles was better. Him, like I got a feel when you had the two tall Jones for the Cowboy, the biggest human being I've ever seen in uniform, bigger than Dave Butts, because he's taller than Dave, right?
Yeah.
But Dave and them understood how to get through practice and world. Charles, you already knew he set the edge. So I knew he hit me harder than too tall has ever hit me. But I knew then, I knew what it felt like to get hit by Too Tall Jones. I didn't like it, right? So I said, I'm going to make sure that don't happen again. But Charles taught me, when you get hit that hard and it's like a Wednesday, then you know you never want to feel that again.
Well,
So it teaches you how to practice. Because you think you're practicing a certain way. Oh, no. So all these things like Neil Okowitz, Mel Kaufman, God rest his soul.
Oh, my God.
That's my sparring partner. You know, him and Mel Kaufman. And on the other side, I'm flipping over my Nittany Lion. Hey, man, them brothers and Pecatella coached them. You know our coaches, Torgy coach you. But the fights we have with the coaches that they had, that's how close it was. Because our Wednesday practice, our scrimmages, we had so many mini wars within our own team. We had live goal line on Fridays, right?
Yeah, yes, we sure did. We did.
Dude.
We did. We had, and then we had the
9-on-7. You had 9-on-7.
But that superseded the Rigo drill.
And then the Rig, right.
I just think of the Rigo drill was the, when I got to the NFL and I experienced the Rigo drill, I then realized I was in the NFL. And I got to see the first prima donna I had ever got to see.
Yeah.
Rigo would come out there, gut full. I mean, like, shirt up, you know, little tummy hanging over a little bit. He'd been relaxing in traction all week long.
Yeah.
And then he'd run his 10 plays. You better not touch him. You better let him run, counter trade left.
He sprint.
Counter trade right. You know, he would do his little thing. He'd get his 10 plays in.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay, we good. You know, I mean.
Yeah. He's a pro. Rigo reminded me of a boxer. Because he knew exactly what he needed to do to get ready for the fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then.
Yeah. It wasn't much.
And this is why I respect Joe Gibbs. An insecure coach would not have been able to handle Rigo. But Rigo never cheated you.
Let me just say this. Joe had to figure Rigo out. Rigo was a phenomenon.
But he didn't pressure him.
No, but I'm saying no. He went back to his room into his coaching office trying to figure out how do I manage this guy when I'm telling everybody else something totally different.
But that's his genius. You know, that's his genius. Don't you agree?
Yeah, he figured it out. He figured it out.
Yeah, because
he did it all.
Remember the meetings? John would be John. And while I love John, no matter what John says, nobody's going to be in better shape. Nobody's going to be better than a game day. Don't pay attention to what he does or says. Pay attention to what he does in the game.
And he did it.
And there ain't going to be nobody you'd rather line up with next to John Riggs.
Yeah, no, he had a switch.
Yep.
And I don't know how it came on or whatever, but somehow that switch came on.
Bionic.
And when it was Sunday, it was.
It reminds me of Ovi. It really does. He's the guy with an Ovechkin gene. Because this
I've
seen this dude. This dude is bionic. But because the key to John's always in shape. John trains. John may not let you see him train, but believe me, John trains. John may not be out there with you. John may be up in the mountains somewhere. He's running up mountains. He's doing something you don't see that puts him in incredible condition. Because you can't do what he does in the game.
But we had a bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little disappointed in the Hall of Fame and what we've been able to do. I mean, the 91 football. The 91 football team was probably the best ever.
Yeah.
And it's certainly in the top five.
Yeah.
But we had athlete after athlete after athlete. Gary Clark, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, just those three. We just stop there and just think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
And then on the defensive side, you know, Darryl got his due. But, I mean, there were several.
Man,
I mean,
Wilbur.
Todd Bowles. I look at Todd Bowles.
A beast.
That guy, he was a coach on the field. From the minute he made the team, he was a coach on the field.
Yeah.
And he represented Pettibone actually out on the field. Yeah. I mean, it was flawless.
You know, it was no secret. Now, like, we're not surprised that the president of the Green Bay Packers plays safety on our teams.
Mark Murphy. Yeah.
That's not nobody surprised. Yeah. That's the kind of talent that was associated with this group of gypsies and hobos.
Blue collar. collar.
And blue collar and just absolutely dudes. Yeah. It reminds me of what Indiana's doing right now in the Big Ten and how they have a special year. This coach won at JMU. Like when he told Google me, he's won everywhere he's been. He reminds me a lot of Joe and the principles and how he set it up. And you get the right people together, and everybody drop their ego, leave it in the glove box, and you can do amazing things.
You know what I'd say? I'd say the Detroit Lions remind me of us.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions remind me of us. They, you know, the quarterback was on the 49, I mean, on the Rams.
Yeah.
Got him to the Super Bowl.
Number one pick, too, I might add. Yeah.
Yeah, but panicked in the Super Bowl and didn't have a great game. And they just outcasted him. And then he went to Detroit and got a second life. And now he is just, I mean, it's fun to watch.
It's crazy. O-line, D-line. Look, man, I don't want your executive commissioner calling me mad because I held up a board meeting. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope that your presence means that we get a win. We get a win tomorrow.
I'll be there.
Okay,
I'll
my brother.
There. I'll be waving out my suite.
All the best to the family. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
As Coach Thompson would say, Charles Mann, simply one of the best. And that's what Dallas Week brings out as we get a little nostalgic. Getting around Thanksgiving time and memories, man. But good memories about teammates and maybe you hear something that, you know, you didn't know, strikes you a little way. All the stuff on Riggo, man, it's a bad boy. I'm going to tell you what, this dude is a beast. Work ethic through the door. I don't care what he may not like you to know this or whatever. I was nobody you want to line up with more. Because this brother here brings it, and he'll never, ever, ever, ever let you down. Not going to happen. You can count on this dude. Take a break. We come back, and we'll keep it rolling. Top of the hour, we're just going to keep playing the hits. We heard from Brother Bostic. I know a lot of you heard a lot of these stories about 50 Gut, Dallas Cowboy Week. This is the week we lay those stories down with you. So stay with us right here on a Gridiron Wednesday special edition in for Windbag Wednesday. We'll be back. Back with you here on a Gridiron Wednesday, special edition DOC, in for the Rooster and Lowell. They will be back next Wednesday, and WWE style. Essek and I getting you set for a Dallas run-in, boys and the W, this Sunday. And we thought it'd be cool to go down and find out from some of the guys that have been involved in this classic affair, and to find out when we come back, what do you think this year's team must do in order to secure victory? That will be our quest as we get on the other side of the hour. Appreciate your patience. We'll be right back.